eyes are fine. Grace close on me, moves through me. The voice of many waters roll like a sea. At this stage, your growth can be measured by obedience to one thing. At this stage, your growth can be measured by obedience to one thing. And until you do that, you're not going to move one step farther. And in whatever you move, it's going to be just gradually. You know what it's measured by? Found in Revelation, the first chapter, verse 13 through 18. God has been exhorting you for a week to quit looking at anything except the face and the form of the resurrected Jesus. Oh. Now, the reason he did this is real simple. You don't know how to do this thing yourself, neither do I. But in your mind, you have certain images built up. And when you go to trying to see or receive, even though you're moving in the Spirit and you're flowing pretty good, once the Spirit sort of dies down a little, these things go to taking back over in your mind. And he is the image breaker. When he brings that mind to rest, he's got you, Henry and Sister Rosie. Oh. When he stops that old mind from wiggling and squirming and trying to reason things out, that old carnal mind from battling him, he's got you. And the only way to do this is to look right before him, right before your face, just like we did this morning, and begin to look at Jesus. Now, we're going to start out closing our eyes first, and then we're going to sing it, and then we're going to gradually open our eyes to let that glory of his resurrection flow down upon us, clothe us and saturate us, and get us to where we can see and feel and understand at rest the way he wants us to, all right? He is the entrance to heaven. He is the entrance to the supernatural. You found that out in all your gates, didn't you? No way you could get in New Jerusalem without seeing him, confessing him by faith. Fulfilling the scripture, in that day shall they all come under the sun. You want to stop that old mind from wiggling and squirming and slaying, giving you problems? Lord Jesus, close your eyes and I see you right there before me. I see you before me, head hair white as wool. As white as snow,
as white as snow.
And close upon me,
and close upon me.
You have a garment, all the way down to your feet, and a golden girdle round your chest. Ha! Has saturated my body, hath brought me to rest, and the glory of your presence,
and presence
hath possessed me. Now open my eyes. Your face I still see. Ah, open your eyes now, look at him.
The grace of God
that hath over me flowed
and
is moving
inside,
makes me drunk at rest and move in the spirit with water and bread. When he gets ready to move you,
when he gets ready to move you
into a new place,
and
makes you drunk on the spirit,
drunk on the spirit
and out of your mind,
and out of your mind,
and he moves you quickly,
and moves you quickly
into the place he wants you. Pentecost, they staggered around like drunk men. Then again, in the next home prayer meeting, they staggered around like drunk men. Then one place where they're praying, they got so drunk, the whole place was shaking. Then in Acts, the 10th chapter, Gentile fell on them, they got drunk. Peter said, just like us. Oh, Paul was praying at the altar, he got drunk, fell into a trance. John was on the Isle of Patmos. He got drunk, fell into a trance, and walked into the heaven. The plan is very simple. Here a little, and there a little bit. I slay your carnal mind
with the wine of my love
and the wine of my spirit
washes it away,
and the drunker you get,
the clearer you can see.
Listen to my kingdom,
in the age of grace,
every mountain shall run
with the wine of my love,
every valley shall fill,
here water my flesh,
they have a drunken time.
In the Spirit of God.
Ah, ah, ah.
when I make you drunk.
Make you drunk again.
Then make you drunk. Again and again.
Again and again.
Then you are aged.
And ready for me.
For I drank the old wine.
And I swallow you up.
The plan of the Father, written in the book.
The new wine for the young men.
The second for the mother.
But the third for the father.
He drinks not new wine.
Cause he only lacks the aid.
And he drinks it all the time.
To the plan
written in the book.
The new wine for the young men.
The father not partook.
The second wine for the mother.
She likes hers a little aged.
But the third wine for the father.
He likes his mellow.
This sign I will give you.
You'll know the voice of our Father.
When he speaks out of you.
And you know not what you say.
But you open your mouth.
Like he said in the scripture.
And he fills it with his voice.
And his words come forth.
Now, if you don't believe it, just look on me.
I have nothing written,
nor memorized,
but I've learned a secret,
to look on his face,
and drink and drink,
and speak the words of grace.
I struggle or strive in my mind.
For I found the secret of aged wine.
When I drink and drink, and my mind becomes dead.
Then alive it comes.
with the words he has said.
Ha!
The second wine is better.
The third wine is best.
But oh, mix them all together.
And
you've got something.
Something
to behold.
You speak the new.
While drinking the old.
And
all its
mysteries,
drank the old wine,
let it mix with the new,
get drunk on both of them,
but
let the old control,
then
you speak the new word,
while drunk on the old.
I'll speak a little plainer,
where you can understand.
Get the book of Isaiah.
And lay it in your hand.
And look on the face of Jesus.
And
prophesy it to him.
The
first thing you know,
the new will come forth.
With your carnal mind,
it'll smite and condemn you
every time.
But read it with
the spirit of prophecy,
which is the testimony of Jesus,
as his face you see.
Oh, the wisdom of God
is something to behold.
You speak the new.
While drunk on the old,
and you walk in the heaven,
according to his plan,
and call things that are
none,
as though they were.
Father
is found in the old book.
The new wine of your
Jesus
is found in the new book.
As you look on his face,
prophesy to him
the
Holy Ghost, and
the Holy Ghost
makes them all one.
Makes them all one.
Ha! He said his yoke was easy, and his burden was light, but you didn't believe him. You tried with your might, and his yoke was so hard, and his burden so heavy, it crushed you down. Now it's time to ride. Foolish people,
I'm all the foolish people,
rich in faith, and drunk on my wine,
and drunk on my wine,
not filled with their own ways,
and not filled with their own ways,
of trying to help me, I need not your heaven,
I need not your heaven,
I'm the great God you see,
I'm the great God you see.
Well, struggle and strive, and
if you please,
and but as for me, I choose the way of ease, and I'll laugh at you,
and I'll cry a little too,
as you go down in destruction, struggling and striving. Ha! A little drum. Feel that mind coming at ease. In that day, great shall be the rest of my people. Rest. 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 One of the characters of God, when he finishes the work, he rests. And he just lets it flow out and do what it's supposed to do. Now, he had revealed himself through his Son in this day as having a completed, finished work. You rest with him in his order and his way, drunk on that new wine, prophesying, speaking into the face of Jesus till he controls you, you'll move quickly in. If you don't, oh, I'll laugh at you a little, rebuke you, maybe even just weep a little for you, maybe weep a whole lot. As you make, let the devil make a stoop out of you. That old puffed up car of mine. Maybe I'll weep a whole lot. But I'll see you go right down in destruction. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, Bernice. Absolutely an enemy. Satan has control of it. Number one way to slay it. Not by quoting the scriptures. He knows the scriptures backward and forward. Number one way to slay it, and that's with the prophecy, the spirit of prophecy of Jesus Christ, speaking it into his face and letting him lash it back on you. Oh, till it makes you cry. Number one way. You're helpless without the face of Jesus. You're helpless without that spirit of prophecy that you prophesy by faith into his face and let him bring you under control. I want y'all to listen to the tape this morning. Some of you, because of your disobedience, you haven't been listening on the tapes, you get caught, get behind. Every time you get behind, you go to struggling, striving with your mind. Then you get in trouble, don't you? Oh. Tonight we want to go into a teaching about the unicorn, and we're going to wind it up here tonight, and then we're going to move into Greenville and going to do whatever there, and then we're going to move wherever and then do whatever. One thing I bet you, I get drunk before I let him tell me where to go. Isaiah, the 34th chapter, verse 7 and 8. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. A unicorn was an animal. Sharp horns, like an antelope, only real long. Cloven hooves. Great big body, was a wild thing. When he got after his enemy, just like he was flying on the wind, he would run and just with all at his enemy, just stick those horns all the way through him and hold him there, snorting, bellowing, and steaming till he died. Then when he died, he stomped him all to pieces, and he wasn't satisfied until he ground him in the dust. And at the early age, right at the changing of the age, from the old creation into the age of Adam, they were very prevalent on the earth. And the purpose of our Father was very plain. He created them, or bred them, whatever you want to call it, to rid the earth of the giant lizards, the dinosaurs, or whatever was left over that was hindering the population of man on the earth. Oh, and it was bred in them. It was bred in them that anything that had fear or had Satan working in it, of which the whole creation was controlled, anything that had fear or anger working in it, they attacked it with a fury, and they went in droves. They built their domains, and they built their domains sort of like the buffalo, the American buffalo, bison, whatever they are. And they wallowed them out, stamped them out, far as they want to live. They'd herd of them, they'd a mile, they'd make a mile wide circle. And they'd stamp every green thing out of it. They wouldn't live in anything but dust. You can see it all in the scripture. They were very loving animals. They slept at night with their horns back like this, laid on their back, their head down on the ground, to where they wouldn't hurt each other because they loved each other. But the bear, they moved at night. They were like Adam, which you'll learn after a while, walked in the wind of the day, cool of the day. They moved at night, early in the morning, late in the afternoon. Once they heard an enemy, up those horns would come and just like one together. You've seen animals do this. It still moves in antelopes. They move just like one, which are offspring of the unicorn. They would move just like one. And everything in their path, they just cut it to a swath. And those in front would do the killing, the second would stamp it to pieces, and the rest of them would absolutely pack and grind it into powder. Oh. And through God's working in his creation, as man came forth, fell into sin, fell into Satan, they became then dangerous to man. Because man, when they fell under Satan, lost their dominion over animals, and they couldn't control the unicorns anymore. Oh. But the horns of the altar, I mean the horns of the throne, right above our Father's head, are the horns of the unicorn. On each side, there's a cherubim. Each one of them had a horn. And when he gets ready for full judgment, what Isaiah is talking about, he turns those horns of the altar down. I mean, horns of the throne down. And look out, Katie, she's gone then. The prophet said he rode upon a cherubim and did fly. Move into the place where vengeance would come. And those horns, the prophets also said, they shoot out arrows of fire. It's written in the natural creation. They're just like lightning. Pow, pow, pow. Oh. That is the judgment reserved for the world. We see it written in Deuteronomy and all in the scriptures. He said his glory is like the firstling of the bullocks. In the age of grace and glory, as he ushers in those that resist, listen to it. And his horns are like the horns of the unicorn. And with them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. We'll have to do this in song. The Lord said do it in song to soften it down a little bit, all right? Because the horns of the unicorn are not for the obedient. They are for the enemies of God. Because Jesus hanging above the horns of the unicorn, above the cherubims, has and is paying the last suffering for all the obedient people in the age. And every time one obedient comes to him like you did, you lessen his suffering a little more and a little more. And when the last obedient is gathered in, that's the end of it. His suffering is finished, then the Father roars. And the enemies either come in or go down. Fulfilling what the psalmist said, thou shalt save me from the horns of the unicorn. Fulfilling also, another one of the prophets says, with the lives of my obedient people, you shall save me from the horns of the unicorn. Ah, 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 ah.
The age of grace and the age of glory. God's kingdom in earth is now revealed. We in the changing age and first fruits of the earth are ready to know our place in His heart. Look to the sacrifices and to know our God's plan written in the book alive and on the wind. God said His order in the sacrifice for sin, sending His only Son as a lamb in the flesh. The Lamb bore the sins and died without mercy. Some goat died for sin, and others were sin. Out in the desert where God took them for the sins of His people, they wandered and died. Some doves died for sin, others were sin, flying away in the heavens, a type of the Holy Ghost. But the unicorn, no one could catch him, no one killed him, nor sacrifice him. But the unicorn slay the enemies of men and cleanse the earth of man-eating beast and stamp the earth clean of every green thing till the latter rains came and grass grew again. Also the unicorn did not suddenly die, but faded away in our Father's plan. As their use diminished, they bred tamer and tamer until all their nature only trace remained. Listen to the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you do my commandments and in obedience to me, then my Father and I
will come unto you and make our abode and live with you. Look to Moses, and he was a unicorn. No one killed him. He was took by God. Look to Elijah. He was a unicorn. No one killed him. Translated was he. While the music's playing, I want to just talk to you a little bit. Did you know the revelation that the old religious myth paints of Satan with horns and a forked tail? Do you know what that is? That is old religious babbling with their myths, hiding the fact that Satan does not have horn or forked tail, but he's a little old snake in your bloodstream eating you up. And he's a little pious voice of religion, trapping you and getting you ready to destroy you. You didn't know the death that was in your bloodstream before the pure heavenly blood made everything die. You didn't know that was that little old snake of Satan moving around in there, didn't you? In the form of germ, latent plagues, and all this in your bloodstream. You check it. Ready to rise up, weakness in your blood, ready to rise up and slay you when a disease comes on you. But the devil paints himself through lies as some with a great big horn and fire and a tail. But he knows that the revelation of that thing with horns and a sharp tail and fire is his destruction. A unicorn. Oh, the age of the unicorn is now upon us, and in the change in age, and God says it must, and must continue over in the age of grace, till all his enemies are stamped under his feet. Father ready for battle, to harvest the earth in love and judgment, in fire and blood, love for the obedient. Unicorns are a clan, fire for the enemy, and stamped in the ground. The world is terrible, in an awful shape. Nathan's getting ready with war to desecrate.
led by Satan in religion and war. Our Father now ready for the return of the unicorn.
Ha ha ya!
Father has clothed on the earth and sent down his throne in New Jerusalem. On the top of his throne, above the two cherubims are the horns of the unicorn. To be clothed upon you. Ha!
Now I want you to listen to me. I want to speak a mystery to you. Let you understand it. The two horns of the unicorn coming down through the cherubims. Listen to it now. The pointed end of them is for the enemies, but on the big end of them down through the cherubim is the horn of plenty, where God's poured out his plenty upon his obedient people. Oh. You've seen that old religious thing about the horn of plenty? They're mounted on each side of the throne. But the other end of them, the higher end is the horn of plenty, where all sorts of fruits come out to God's people. The other end of them is what he turned down on his enemies. Where do you get all these things, Brother Brooke? Get drunk and get in the book. Get drunk and get in the book. Go to prophesying them, get drunk. First thing you know, shoo. Ha ha ha. Oh, oh.
The prophet spoke them. Our Father's life, and that he rode on cherubims and did swiftly fly. He rode in the night and slayed the wicked with the horns of the unicorn all fire in front of him. Look to the lightning. You'll see the fiery horns that shoot bolts of fire and arrows of brimstone. You'll hear him speaking out of the mouth of the prophet. Fire for his enemy. And air is a brimstone. As a father rides a cherubim with his host. His angels of fire burning front and around them,
and nothing stand before him. His long-suffering through, and he destroys all the wicked that resist. As the earth is cleansed in powder and dust, follows the latter rain, shoots up new growth, the earth becomes an Eden, vineyard side of every hill, and the valleys filled with water, honeybees in the air.
If you disobey and go to sleep without being drunk tonight, I hope you have terrible dreams. After I went to all this trouble, Lord, went to all this trouble, ministered this thing to you for a week and kept you drunk in a skunk moving in the love of God and open up midst of you, if you go to sleep tonight without being drunk in the spirit, you deserve for the devil just to beat you all night long. Oh. If the world resists the building of his kingdom for his son, and a father mounts him and calls his angels and descends in wrath on the world of sin. Say none in your heart, that'll never happen. Look to Sodom and Gomorrah of fire, and listen to Jesus declare judgment for this age, and it'll be more tolerable. For he then sought a man, Gomorrah. Jesus was speaking, he said, listen. He said, since I have revealed the truth of God and the love and the grace by faith of his deliverance, he said, well, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than it will for you that reject it. He said, because God just, our Father just shot out one lightning bolt in Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed it. But said, it laid out in the prophets that in the last day there's such a terrible desecration for those that reject the grace of God, is that he filled their flesh with arrows of fire. Oh.
In the days of Noah, with water God destroyed. He said, never again. Waters are my son's flesh, but the wicked have drowned the world in innocent blood. So the fire of my judgment with that blood will destroy, but belongs to me. I gave it life. If any man defile it, his life I require. In that day, I draw judgment to the line. The line of the wicked that shed my innocent blood. All blood that religion defiled with her forms, and I'll cast it upon them and turn it into fire. The obedient I must deliver. I am just. The wicked I know nothing. The reward is fire. All the blood that religion defiled with her form were formed, I'll cast it upon them and turn it into fire. Obedient I must deliver. I am just. But the wicked I owe nothing. The reward is fine. When I cleanse the earth, I'll leave a testimony of what happened to those that defy me. I'll leave an open pit, a pit of fire, where the seed of the false church shed all my blood. And I'll tell all nations, look there upon. That's what happened when you shed my blood. My judgment has come. In my age of grace, and even thank to destroy, and my fire hit your face, and I tell you again, touch my minister, and leave my children alone, for my wrath is now on my face, and my angels are ready with brimstone and fire. Fear. I'm their friend.
Their enemy is my enemy. 'Cause I'm a true friend. I never desert them, even the least one. I always protect them with the horn of my throne. Surely you know there's nothing I won't do to protect my heritage, and I placed in you and deliver the world to my begotten Son, that in full suffering he has won.